My name is Morgan Davis, and I'm a system engineer at Braidwood Power Station.
Hey, Morgan, tell me what a system engineer is, what you do there.
I actually am the engineer that's responsible for the radiological way systems and all the safety systems for the reactor at Braidwood.
And tell me where this is exactly.
My station is actually right outside of Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's about an hour outside of Chicago.
And tell me the importance of the job you do for the community and for the folks that are benefiting from the work you do.
Basically, my job is to ensure that all the safety systems are working so that the core is protected at all times, and then also to make sure that the environment and the health and safety of the public is protected. So that is my sole function as an engineer, is making sure that those systems are operating at all times.
I think sometimes we as a public may think of safety and nuclear power maybe at two different ends of the spectrum, but you don't see it that way, I guess, right?
Absolutely not. There's actually redundant safety systems, and for the reactor, there's actually six ways to cool the reactor. So, I mean, instead of just having even one or two ways, there's actually six, and you have to maintain those at all times. So mm-hmm. I've been there, I've seen it, and actually it's really safe. And we have one of the best safety records as far as any industry.
Morgan, talk a little bit about the technology that's involved in what you do every day and how it gives you that buffer of safety you talked about.
Well, the reactor actually is what produces the power, and that heats the water, which then creates steam and turns a turbine. So our job is to make sure that that core is functioning properly at all times, and then also to make sure that it's safe. And if at any time, you know, there was some maintenance we had to have to do, we would, you know, downpower the reactor and take care of it immediately. And the one thing I really do like about the nuclear power industry is that it's extremely safe as a worker. That is the number one thing for me, going to work every day. And then also, you always have a questioning attitude, you're always challenging, and you're always making sure that, you know, the equipment is operable at all times. And it's actually very rewarding to be in a workplace like that. So, and that's one reason I chose a career in the nuclear industry.
And how long have you been doing this career? How long has it been part of what you do?
I've been in the industry for about 3 years.
Wow, great.
So, and I originally started as an environmental analyst. So, and I chose that position initially in the industry because I felt like this was a more environmentally friendly type of power source, because we have actually no greenhouse gas emissions. So it aligned very well with my values and goals as, you know, coming out of college and what I wanted to do.
So. Very neat. You know, one of the center points of our country's discussion is energy and fuel and how are we going to be able to power ourselves now and into the future. What do you see as the growth potential for nuclear power and safety issues and all of that in the next 5 years or 10 years, the job you're doing, maybe other jobs you know about?
Well, actually, it's really exciting being a younger professional in the nuclear industry, because as you've heard, probably the nuclear renaissance is on the table right now. And we do have more sophisticated designs from the lessons learned we've learned over the 30 years. And as an industry, we've brought our efficiency and our safety record to just unmatched levels. And that's really exciting for, you know, the future looking forward. And it's just going to be really a good opportunity for anybody just coming out of college or just want to try something new. Like, it, you know, we have a really tough economy right now. Some jobs are, you know, being taken overseas, and this is one way to bring jobs back home, is building these new reactors, because they're at home and we have to run them. We have to have qualified people. So this is a really good opportunity for America as a whole to help the economy and create more jobs as well.
You mentioned the word renaissance in talking mm-hmm. about this. Explain that a little bit and talk about the renaissance as you see it in the industry.
Well, right now we have some utilities who have submitted combined operating licenses. And what that is basically is saying that they are showing interest in building new plants, and they're at various locations around the U.S. And North Carolina actually has submitted a combined operating license for, I believe, the Harris plant. And that actually is going to be one of the new sites. And we feel that it's essential for North Carolina to really pursue that, because you're expected to have 300,000 new customers by 2020. And as an industry representative, if you don't get the power here at North Carolina, you got to get it from somewhere else. So we're really trying to help North Carolina out in understanding the importance that nuclear power can play in resolving, you know, the power issues you may have in the future.
Morgan, tell me a little bit too about the structure that you mentioned. Your job is in Illinois, in that Chicago area. Mm-hmm. How is it you're touring the country, and how is that, where are you speaking and what are you doing, and how is that funded and all of that?
Well, actually, we're part of the Clean Energy America program. And what that is it's a bunch of industry representatives that are going to various areas and talking about nuclear power and its benefits and the role it can play right now and then in the future. And we actually are from all over the country. And we go to college campuses and civic groups, and we're just promoting awareness of nuclear power.
And some of the, undoubtedly, you know, in America, you're always going to have people of opinions other than yours, which is healthy, and mm-hmm. it probably makes us all better. Tell me some of the concerns that you routinely run into from audiences and from people, and how you might counter that concern.
I'd say probably the most concerns that people do have is the waste. And we do have used nuclear fuel. And currently do manage that on sites that at the nuclear power plants. And I actually get involved in a lot of that in my everyday job. And they put them in these concrete dry containers. And so they pull the spent fuel out.
Is it in packets, or is it a rod? Or help me see what are you actually
dealing with. It's actually tubes with these little pellets that are about the size of the top of your index finger.
Okay.
Joint on the very top. Mm-hmm. And so there's these little pellets in these rods, and then they're put into probably a foot by foot long tube assembly. Mm-hmm. Right, and it has a bunch of little tubes in it, and that's what we use to power the reactor. So once that's finished, we pull that out and we put it in what's called a spent fuel pool, and that's actually a big swimming pool, and it actually blocks all of the radiation, all of the risk, and any potential harmful radiation. We keep that there for about 10 years, and then our older assemblies we pull out and we put them in dry containers that are concrete with a bunch of metal, and it shields it. We pull it out, put it on a concrete pad outside, and I've actually been able to touch one of these, which is actually neat. You touch it, and I have all these crazy monitors all over me, but mm-hmm. Didn't receive any radiation. So that's actually a really remarkable thing that engineering in the future, can help manage. But that's how we manage it right now. As you know, we're trying to pursue Yucca Mountain, and we've made a lot of progress towards that in the recent year. However, we are trying to promote fuel recycling, because France and Japan do that currently right now. And that's actually our technology that they're using. And they've made tons of advances to improve that. And we could take that back home and really minimize a lot of what we have today as far as waste goes.
Morgan, I appreciate you spending a moment with us. I see you brought a friend with you. So mm-hmm. if you don't mind swapping places with your friend here, and we'll find out who you are and what you do, if you would, please.
Hi, my name is Ben Grambo, and I'm an engineer in the nuclear power industry.
Hey, Ben. Good to see you. How did you end up being an engineer in a high-tech field like that?
Oh, when I was going into school, I was wanting to get into engineering, and actually visited a whole bunch of different departments, a whole lot of different technical areas, and ultimately decided that nuclear energy had a promising future, and it was also an exciting technology and a good use of our natural resources and a great way to generate electricity.
And Ben, as an engineer, you pretty much have to be able to bring a fuel source in, generate a product, and then see to it that the other side that fuel source is taken care of. Is that pretty much your entire football field of engineering, or is there more to it even than that?
Well, these power plants are very sophisticated. They're large structures. And simply put, like you said, you bring a fuel in, we generate electricity, and then manage it on the back end as well. But there are hundreds of people at these sites, and the industry itself has got thousands of people that work in this industry, providing all kinds of services and ensuring the continued operation of these reactors.
And to make it a simple process takes an awful lot of complexity, I would guess. As an engineer, what are some of the things you specifically work on? Some of the, maybe the math equations, or maybe it's the structure itself? How do you come together on all of those things?
Well, there's a lot of rules and regulations that are out there regarding how to construct and how to operate a nuclear power plant. So, for instance, if you're doing maintenance or replacing some equipment, or you're modifying something in the power plant to make it a little bit better, there's a lot of quality requirements and a lot of regulations that need to be followed. That in some ways, when you compare it to other industries, it makes it more complex. But the end result is that you get extremely high quality products and systems that will operate when they're required to operate.
One of the, I think, interesting things about any field of engineering, you've got the theoretical, and then you have the real-world application. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those don't always talk as well as you'd like. How do you bridge that between, here's what should work, here's what we know will happen? Does that ever cause any engineering questions?
Well, certainly. I mean, these plants are designed before they're built, and they operate within certain parameters or a window of operation that what they're designed and then analyzed for. And then the challenge becomes to go build that plant and then run it the way it was designed to be built. It's all very prescribed and very controlled as far as how these plants are both constructed and operated.
When you were a little kid walking around, did you ever imagine you'd be designing and building nuclear power plants?
No.
What was your goal at that point?
As a child, yeah. I knew that I was interested in math and science, and for people, you know, who have those interests, engineering schools are a great place to go. The country needs a lot of engineers right now. There's a projected shortage of engineers in all industries going forward. So,
what would you recommend to maybe somebody who's a parent with a young child in middle school or thereabouts that shows some interest in math and science and maybe some engineering interest as well? What would you advise that family?
Encourage it, both with young boys and girls. Then seek out opportunities through local schools. You know, at NC State, there's summer programs that you could send, say, a middle school or even grade school type student to, where they can get exposure for a couple weeks, and that can help foster their interest in math and science even more.
It's I know, having talked to engineers before, sometimes it's hard to impress an engineer because you can imagine things that are not here yet. And what are some things you see in the growth of the nuclear power industry, where it might go, and some things that even astonish you?
Well, we talked about the nuclear renaissance before, and the renaissance will be the construction of new nuclear power plants. These are long-term projects. It takes a while to build one of these plants, and at the same time, it creates a lot of jobs. And the scale of these large industrial projects is impressive. If you actually visit one of these power plants and see the pumps and the valves and all the piping and the concrete and the steel, it's the scale of it is quite impressive. We've actually got 104 of these nuclear power plants in the country today. They generate about 20% of our electricity and have done so over the last 30 years. Something that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah,
it's sort of a silent but large contributor to our energy portfolio.
104, and that I'm sure a lot of people are surprised to hear me. Maybe that it's that many that are in operation right now.
Exactly. The United States has more nuclear power plants than any other country in the world.
If you had asked, are there other countries that you think are pushing the envelope even better than the United States right now when it comes to nuclear power? I know France gets a huge portion.
Yeah, France gets about 80% of their electricity from nuclear. They made a strategic decision in the late 70s during the energy crisis then that because France does not have a whole lot of natural resources, that they would get the majority of their electricity from nuclear energy. And they made a commitment and went forward and get 80% of their energy today. So in a when we look at it in the United States, where we've got a lot of concerns about our energy independence, as well as the environment and greenhouse gases right now, that makes a good time for nuclear energy to be considered that can help us. We can make our own electricity here.
And Ben, I guess the big question for especially an engineer, would you put a house, would you live in a house near a plant with no question?
Absolutely.
Really?
Right now, and that's a viewpoint that's shared by more people than just myself. In communities where the nuclear power plants exist today, the public acceptance or the public approval rating for those nuclear power plants is over 90%, which is really quite high. And there's communities that are actually talking to the utilities that are considering constructing some of these new nuclear plants and saying, please come build it here, because they realize the number of jobs, permanent jobs, high-paying jobs that these plants create, as well as the tax base and what the benefits are to the community for schools, roads, et cetera.
Well, Ben, thank you. And Morgan, thank you, too. Is there anything we haven't touched on that's important to either of you? Because we're about out of time here.
Well, we've got a website, www.cleanenergythenumber4america.org, which has a blog that people can post and ask questions about nuclear energy.
Thank you, Ben. Morgan, one last moment here.
I just wanted to thank you for letting us come and talk about nuclear power and the clean and reliable source it is. And thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, good luck to both of you. Thank you.
Thanks.